everyone, to a brand new Getting Color right here on the Big Vito brand. And I am Virtue. And that, of course, is the man himself, Big Vito LaGrasso, fresh off of a red hot No DQ review that we did last night over on No DQ. Already has more views than the prior episode from a week before Thanksgiving. What do you think about that, Vito?
That's awesome. It was awesome to be on No DQ. You know, it's my favorite show. How many years ago did we start that show? What were we doing, 5 years?
At least. I mean, gosh, we have 214 episodes now, and you started it off with me, you, Aaron, and Jexy.
Right.
Gosh, that had to be 4 or 5 years ago.
Now, what kind of ratings did we get? Did we get the old ratings, or did we get just better ratings than the week before?
Well, not only is it better than the week before, Vito, but it hasn't even been 24 hours yet, and it's almost at 1,500 views.
Wow.
So, like, you got to gauge it after it's been up for a week. Like, the other one's been up for 2 weeks now,
right,
that it already beat.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, if Aaron would pay a little money, take a little money out of the cat fund, we'd be all right.
Vito, as we were coming on here tonight, I saw, and this is all alleged, right, when you see wrestling news on the internet, but we have to talk about this. Ready for this. Roman Reigns was reportedly very heated over a spot in the 2020 Men's War Games match at Survivor Series. Now, this is coming from Fightful,
right,
I believe. So here's how it reads. According to Fightful, Reigns was heated after a spot involving Kevin Owens. And here's the details. It was rumored among those that spoke with Reigns that he took exception to a perceived unplanned spot between he and Kevin Owens. As he walked, and I'm assuming this is Reigns, as he walked backstage, he mentioned possibly having a ruptured eardrum and wanted the spot to go as originally planned. The explanation was said to have been explicit-filled, and it was clear to everyone that Reigns wasn't happy over something Kevin Owens did. Now let's see if it says what spot it was. There has been no word regarding any physical kind of altercation between the two, but just Reigns was very heated. Did you watch that match? Did you notice anything weird with him and Kevin Owens? Now I'm going to have to go back and see if I can find this.
Go back and look at it and look at it.
Here's the thing. What this happened, like, stuff changes, especially in a chaotic match like that, because Reigns was the last one out. That means all 10 guys were in the ring. What is your take, even with a ring vet like Reigns and even Kevin Owens, when something unplanned happens? Like, what goes through wrestlers' minds here? Because if it did happen, Reigns is pissed. Kevin Owens, you would think, would be one of those guys that you could call something in the ring. What's your take in general over stuff like that?
You know, guys, I got to tell you, not everything goes like they say in today's industry as scripted, but calling spots in the ring, I mean, that's just a normal thing. And if guys get, you know, mad, you know, back in the day, it never happened. It never happened. Like, you went in the back, you know, you spoke about it, but the social media just, you know, it's so, you know, it could, I don't know. It's just, when guys, Reigns is the heavyweight champion. For him to come out bitching, not a good look.
Now, remember, we take this with a grain of salt when we see any website like say this. For all we know, Paul Heyman could have worked the dirt sheet here and said like something, right? So we can't, I've never heard any story of like this happening with Reigns being upset. That's why I just think it's so weird. Especially,
I'm going to ask you a question.
Kevin Owens. If it was one of the younger guys, who's that younger guy? Not Pete Dunne, Butch, but the other guy, Ridge Holland.
Yeah.
Isn't he the one that busted Big E? Like that, I would have been like, okay, dude, what happened? It's just weird to hear. Like, I don't want to hear that stuff. Let these guys be professionals.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Professionally. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. This goes for everybody listening out there. This is a great question, okay? When was the last time you heard of a world champion complaining about a spot in a pay-per-view? It doesn't happen.
I know. I don't like look for that stuff, to be honest.
This is why social media kills the business. Guys become privilege. Now, Roman Reigns has earned his keep. He's paid his dues. I have no beefs with him. Sometimes, some things are left in closed doors in the dressing room, and you talk about it, you get it out. I mean, okay, somebody mentioned Goldberg and, you know, Every Day and Bret Hart, but that's, you know, 50 years ago, and if Bret Hart didn't have social media, we'd never know about it, okay? So, I'm kind of disappointed because he's a leader. He is the man. When Cena got dropped on his head by Nakamura, and everybody remembers that, Cena didn't say nothing, right? When Cena got his nose rearranged by Rollins, that's John Cena, he got his nose dislocated, right? When he had heated promos with The Miz, he took it out, he handled his business, he was always professional. You never heard Cena complain about somebody, but he took care of it in his promos, right? So at least he did it in front of millions, and he did it on press. When you're sitting there in the back and you're bitching, you're the champ. You are the example that leads the locker room. You don't.
And again, Vito,
you are the Superman.
I have trouble believing this. Like, I would think that if Reigns, he would pull Kevin Owens to the side, just him, man to man, nobody else, no people, no potential moles, and they would discuss it. So that's why I'm taking this with a grain of salt, man. But I saw it. It was the headline of No DQ just a little bit ago. And when I saw Roman, I did not expect to read that. So that's coming from Fightful, folks.
I'm going to tell you something. When I wrestled for NWE with Rikishi's group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Heidenreich was working there. Now, we worked in WWE together. We were friends. We were boys. So Heidenreich was notorious for missing flights and messing up cards. He shows up late to the match from the plane. I was told by the booker, Rikishi, Vito, you give him nothing. Okay. Now, Heidenreich is a big guy, and he's no slouch. He's a big, tough man, right? I went in there, and I did what they told me to do, and I just said, okay, I did what he said. He came back and destroyed the back, punching walls,
Ooh. Busted
up the dressing room, caused a big scene in front. And NWE was just starting. We had 15,000 people.
Wow.
And we had all the dignitaries, and he went and did this. Right? So, like, you're like, all right. He kept it in-house, but he went about it the wrong way. He could have said, I told them, I said, listen, this is what they told me to do. And I have no beefs with them. And when guys come to me and say, hey, Vito, what was that? I say, this is what they told me. I said, we can go to them. Because all the guys knew I was up front. I was legit. I wasn't nothing. Now, somebody put on the chat over here, Brock told Braun to slow the fuck down. Yeah, you do tell a guy to slow down when he gets a little anxious, when he's new, when he's uncertain. You slow them down. That's what you do. Or you crack them one just to get them to settle. Okay? All right. Here's your receipt. All right, let's go do the match. Do you know how many times guys have hit me because they were nervous to be in the ring with me? And I said, hey, relax. Be cool. I never complain. And I'm probably the most bumpinest mofo in the industry because my job is to make that guy look good. And that's what people forget. When you are a veteran, when you are a wrestler, your job is to make the other guy look good so it looks like a good match. You lead by example. Whether you win or lose, you still take it, and you do that.
Dude, what a coincidence, though. Like, the rumored match for Reigns at Royal Rumble coming up is Kevin Owens again. And remember, they had that program around this time 2 years ago during the pandemic. Right. Paul Heyman's a master manipulator. I could see him feeding Fightful that whole thing, and it never even happened, just to get the people talking about a beef with Owens and Reigns. I wouldn't put it past them, Vito.
That's fine.
I can't believe
but
it.
But remember what I told you, right? They have nobody for Reigns to fight. That's why they put him on a part-time schedule. That's why he's not appearing as much, because they have nobody for him to run with.
Bringing Owens back in the mix, man. That we forgot 2 years ago.
Yeah, but you see, but there it is. Owens is the guy you bring in when you got nobody, and you say, okay, it'll be a good program. But
yeah,
what do you got? And remember how we say, Vito, what do you think about this opponent? What do you think? I say, guys, they're fillers. These guys ain't got the it factor. Why didn't they put Bobby Lashley in there with Reigns? Bobby Lashley is nowhere on the stratosphere of Roman Reigns. And Bobby Lashley is a friend of mine, and I'm going to say nothing bad about him, but he's not at that level. He's just at a different level, guys.
You think Kevin Owens is?
Kevin Owens is a filler match. Kevin Owens is a filler match. Now, if you take Kevin Owens from when his NXT run, and him, remember him coming in and beating Cena.
Yeah.
That was important. That was good stuff. He was hot. Now, if Kevin Owens went back to NXT, just for say, I guarantee you they would fill the Barclays Center again.
When against two. Time? Well, like you have to, it takes two to tango, so KO versus two.
Sami Zayn.
Now, is it fair to say, look at, I'm this Mr. Devil's advocate here. Back to the NXTs doing well at the bigger arenas. Is it fair to say that's also contributed to they were always piggybacked against a big wrestling pay-per-view weekend like SummerSlam, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble? I mean, I was at a couple of those. And do you think those places sold out because of NXT or because people were hyped for the big event weekend?
No, let's look at this. Let's be legit here. Let's be really legit.
Remember, Enzo was around back then too.
Yeah, my boy Enzo, right? But hold on. When you look at what NXT did and what they accomplished in that time, okay, and the popularity they had with Kevin Owens, right? I believe Finn Balor was in there. Enzo and Kaz was in there. They had a good crew of guys that they said, okay, let's do the Barclays Center. They filled the place out, and they did their pay-per-view, and it was 2 days. They did good.
Now, they did the same thing in Toronto, Chicago, big areas.
Now, if you took those guys who were NXT originals, let's go NXT originals, and you put them back there, NXT would draw more than Raw, and NXT would be on stage with SmackDown. No questions. If you put AJ Styles there.
You'd have to have some of those main roster guys back there.
All right, if you put the main guy, those guys down there, how about Bobby Roode? He's not doing shit. Stick him down in NXT and let him do the glorious gimmick again. I bet you everybody come up.
Several years back, NXT was involved at Survivor Series because it's still Survivor Series time. Right. And they had, remember, Vince McMahon was still in charge back then of the whole thing, and Triple H did his NXT. Remember, they had NXT win the Survivor Series more or less?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
What happened?
So it does exist if you put the right players in place.
Yeah.
But they're so thin rostered that they can't spread it out. Right. When everybody saw that Charlotte went back down to NXT, they thought it was like a demotion. But no, it was to bring up the people there. Right. And just for say, for some miraculous thing, I don't know what Enzo and Kaz are doing now. I saw Enzo was working with Eric Sims this past weekend.
Kaz is an AEW, but I don't know if it's a big contract or a by appearance, but I'd still love to see those guys back in WWE. That's where they belong.
But that's the whole thing. The both of them and their popularity, if they report back just to watch their entrance and come down, no matter if they're the shits wrestling or not, you know, you got a guy 7 foot tall, you got a guy on the mic, you got a guy who drew heat, the guy who ran the 205 Live. Did we forget about the 205 Live that was doing house shows because of Enzo?
Yep.
So what does that tell you?
Dude,
what is it?
I don't know what his relationship was with Triple H, but that would be nice. Like, he's obviously matured and grown up in the indies since then. I haven't heard any bad stuff about Enzo. We know he tried to, remember he went into the events, went in disguise, right, trying to get on camera.
Spent his
money. But, like, you would think that Triple H would entertain a discussion. Maybe he wants the package, though, and with Cass doing other things, it's hard right now. You would think Triple H would end, like, get into that discussion to at least see if it's a fit to bring him back. He did. I mean, Enzo did nothing wrong legally, right? That girl was a phony. Just saying.
It was true. Now, you want to know what the biggest thing that I was so upset about, and I like those guys, and their time to shine was at that WrestleMania, but they brought the Hardys back and put the straps on them, and that sucked. Because those guys worked all year. They went to all the towns. They did everything. The payoff was WrestleMania, being champions. Finally, they never got that push. It sucked.
Because and then after that, they broke them up. And hey, they did have the Enzo thing with the 205 Live and doing the house show circuit with that. That seemed like it was going to go good until Enzo unraveled a little bit there personally. But
you know what it is too, Virtue? It's guys believe in their own hype. It's just like we were talking about Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, a few others who get the taste of money, fame, and fortune, but they forget that hunger of what it is to train and be a dog. You know what I mean? And, you know, Enzo was doing, you know, his Versace thing, coming out, living the life. He's, you know, he's larger than life character. He's making top dollar. He had merch money. He had money coming in. Sometimes guys don't know how to handle that because they're not mature enough. And then when they're outside looking in, say, yeah, I fucked that up. But then when they would try to get back in, maybe they don't want to take a chance. Now, the company took a chance on Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman had all this verbiage with it's your narrative, right? And that tanked, didn't do nothing. And here's Braun Strowman. He gets back in there. And what does he do? He makes fucking comments about, how about be quiet? Earn your $500,000. You know, be cool.
Be a monster. All right, Vito, we got moving on to other no DQ topics here. Like, here's one. Jim Cornette, you know how he does his shtick, right? His podcast and giving his, like, you know what his vision of professional wrestling is, and it clashes with Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, a lot of what he sees in AEW, and he, you know, he hams it up for his podcast. But I'm agreeing with him here. I don't have a problem when I see guys like Pac in matches, member Neville, doing flips and stuff, but like they still intertwine professional wrestling in there. Like I don't have problems with that. Like I can even say Hangman Page. But when I see the Young Bucks, a match, Kenny Omega, talking about the trios, because recently at Full Gear they had that the Elite versus Death Triangle. Right. Cornette said it was absolutely unwatchable, and if you're a fan of pro wrestling, you should hate it and turn it off. Why? Because I'm sure he watched it to review it, and he saw every choreographed spot. And Vito, we see highlights, like whether it's botches or the actual highlights that came across okay. Vito, is that wrestling? I think Jim Cornette's right here. Old school. What do you think?
Guys, you talk about the greatest tag teams that ever lived, right? Let's start off with Legion of Doom. There was no mistake in who. You talk about Demolition. Let's take a step down to smaller tag teams. Let's talk about Rock and Roll Express. Let's talk about the Fantastics. Let's talk about Steve Kern and his buddy there. Help me.
Steve Kern. He was tagged with some. I remember him as Skinner.
Yeah. Help me in the chat. Help me. Please. And it's my favorite video.
Steve Kern was tagged with someone?
Yes, he did. Steve Kern and the one night stand, Stan Lane. They were they're my favorite tag team. What do you got? Somebody help me in the chat.
Noel said Stan Lane. Gosh, I'm having a
right. Stan Lane. What was the name of the tag team, Noel? Come on, we're on time limit here. Come on.
You know I would have got DiBiase and Scheister right with Money Incorporated. Come on, that's. No.
But you talk about I don't think they were the Fantastics, babe.
Keep talking, Vito. I'll Google it here.
All right, so. Guys, when you talk about, like, all right, let's, you know, the Midnight Express, another tag team, the Midnight Express. When you talk about tag teams like that, The Fabulous Ones. That's it. The Fabulous Ones. All right.
Got it.
All right. Got it. So you talk about Jim Cornette with those tag teams, Midnight Express, the Fabulous Ones, the Rock and Roll Express. They never did any goofies. They did tag team wrestling. That's what Jim Cornette is saying today. If they didn't, it wasn't like, and you know, I was in Memphis wrestling. I was in USWA. I learned a lot. And separate dressing rooms, you're going in there and you're putting on a show. You got to know your craft. You got to know how to work. It doesn't work, you know, spot after spot. You know, what the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega doing. Kenny Omega said, I'm the best wrestler in the world. So far, he has shown the shits. He ain't the best wrestler in the world. And let me tell you something. When he came out and he said in that dressing room, I could work circles around everybody. And if I was in there, I would have got up and said, motherfucker, you ain't shit, because I could outwork you. And it would have been on. All right, and you're talking about somebody who's supposed to be all world, and then this overspray guy is supposed to be another guy who's supposed to be all world, but they ain't on the but Will Overspray, but they ain't here, they ain't in the WWE, they ain't at AEW, and if they're at AEW, they ain't doing shit. So what are you talking about? And to watch these choreographed matches with the kicks, the miss, and the miss. Shawn Michaels never missed a kick. Right? The Mafia kick by Big Vito. He threw one and one connected. Right? You don't throw 50. If it was a leg drop by Hogan, it was one leg drop. If it was an elbow from the top, it was an elbow from the top by the Macho Man.
What makes it phony with the Young Bucks, when they do those sequences with their opponents where they do the same moves to each other, and then they come out where they both drop kick the air and then they stand up. Like, that's basically telling the audience we knew what each other was going to do. In a real, like, if you try to simulate a real wrestling match or fight, you're not going to always know what the other one's going to do. And that's the phony stuff I hate. You know what parts I'm talking about when you do that?
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
Ospreay is really, really bad for doing that. Yeah.
I watched it on the Botchamanias, and they put this on Botchamania because they goofed them guys. You know, and I just say, you know, when they goof these guys, it's the truth. They're not mistaken. Yeah. And people criticized it, but AEW botches is for this freaking choreographed bullshit missed spots. It's my favorite thing to do when I'm working late at night. What do? I watch AEW botches, especially with the referee there, right? Aubrey, ref Aubrey, right?
Oh, gosh. She just loves. She's like a
her best promo. I'm not there to get involved in the matches. I'm there for the wrestlers. But you are facials. You're animated. You're all this stuff. I never seen Dave Hebner or Dick Worley or any of the great referees do any of the shit you do. So who are you kidding?
Unless they had to, because like a wrestler, a heel was in their face and they're trying to be the law of the ring. But that's they're supposed to at that particular time.
Who is one of the probably one of the best heel referees? Now we're talking wrestling here. Danny Davis. Remember Danny Davis, right?
Yeah.
Danny became a wrestler after the referee thing. But as a referee, right? And who were the referees in WCW? I see their faces. I can't think of their names right now. There were two of them who were heel referees. They were good for what they were doing. And they took bumps. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to be there to make facials and do this and dance and do all this other stuff. It's not your job.
Well said, Vito. All right, ready for the last topic?
Go ahead.
It's early. It's almost December, though. Let's put your picks in. The world wants to know, what does WWE do for Royal Rumble? They got a women's Royal Rumble match and a men's, and you need to have the right people win them. Is it too early to predict? Like, what do you think? We know the situation with Roman Reigns with both titles. Right now, we know it's Bianca Belair and Ronda Rousey holding the women's titles. Who does Big Vito book in WWE to win those respective matches?
It's time to bring back Charlotte Flair.
Okay.
Okay. I think Charlotte Flair needs to take one of those belts. Or, my creative thinking, have a title versus title with a third entrant and make it Charlotte Flair where she gets both titles, like Roman Reigns.
Like Roman Reigns?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I mean, right? Gosh, they should have one main title anyway, right? They can bounce back on four. You know, they can go to both shows. They're not exclusive to any brand. That's how it should be. Charlotte, I can't argue with that. I mean, isn't she chasing her dad's record?
She's chasing a record, but most of all, she's been off TV for such a long time, and nobody knows really why. From what I understand, Andrade is not with AEW no more, so there's no following him around.
And I could see Triple H scoop him back up. He remember, came through NXT when Triple H was in charge.
Yeah, but
maybe for NXT, like maybe that's where he would go, like you said, send some of those guys back down there.
But what would Andrade do in WWE?
Outside of NXT, I don't.
Andrade is NXT material. He's not.
Yeah.
He tried it up on Raw, on SmackDown, on AEW. Nothing.
Okay. What about Sasha Banks? Again, it's tricky because they walked out. You gotta think Triple H is wanting to be the guy that brings her back because, you know, just look at everything he's been doing, the people that he's been bringing back. Different circumstances, I know. Sasha and Naomi just walked out versus getting released, but I gotta throw her name in there, Vito.
If Sasha Banks was to wrestle Bianca Belair, I could see that happen and make a Sasha Banks champion. If they did Naomi and Sasha and challenge for the tag team titles at the Rumble as the mystery team, that would get over with the people. But I say, if you do that, you know, and you got an opponent there for Bianca Belair, you got Charlotte Flair for Rousey, which, you know, I'm really not a fan of, but there really isn't anybody else. And they're supposedly doing this Four Horsemen thing where they have Ronda Rousey, Baszler, and they're supposed to put a third with them. Is Bayley with them, or Bayley's with that other group?
Well, the wrestling term for horse women was always the NXT girls of Becky, Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley. Now, granted, Ronda and Shayna were four horsewomen of UFC or of fighting, right, of Ultimate Fighting. But I don't know how they would do that, to be honest with you. I don't know if they would intertwine them or have the wrestling ones and the MMA ones maybe have a feud. I don't know.
You know, if you did bring back Sasha Banks and you put her with Bianca Belair, that sets up a WrestleMania for Becky Lynch versus Sasha, and that would be a good match, and people would want to see that. My booking, my thoughts.
The men's. So, like, my gut still says Rock's coming to Hollywood for Roman. They don't need titles on the line. So it gets tricky now. Who wins the Royal Rumble? Like, is Rock going to come back at number 30 and win it? That's how he gets to WrestleMania. I mean, that's him doing double duty. I can't see that. Who's going to win the men's Royal Rumbles with Roman holding those titles? Like, that's...
Let me ask you an honest question.
Okay.
Honest question. And this goes out to everybody out there. We all talk about the greatest stars of our industry coming back and doing something. But in reality, where does The Rock fit in today's wrestling?
It's a one-match show because of the bloodline. If Roman didn't do this bloodline thing and it wasn't known like Rock and Roman were blood-related,
right,
I would agree with you. The fact that I just feel – and Rock has tried to pull Roman into Hollywood. He was in one of his movies, a Fast and the Furious spinoff, Hobbs and Shaw, like in a fighting scene. I would think Rock's business, his mind would say, I'm going to come here. I'm going to put Roman over. That's going to be it for me. I'm going to bring him to Hollywood when his wrestling career is over, and this is how I'm going to start it. That's what's going through my mind, especially knowing where WrestleMania is at. If you take that out of the equation, he doesn't come back. He doesn't need to.
Now, when you talk about what we'd like to see, right? Now, we got a treat last year with the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? It was a treat. Everybody liked it. Now, would everybody enjoy just one match a year from The Rock, from Stone Cold, I don't even know who else is out there.
Cena in there at this point?
I mean, Cena's Batista. A possibility. Batista. But do these guys fit in with these young kids today? Because they don't match up size-wise. They don't match up charisma-wise. They don't match up. There's no comparison. There's no comparison.
That's true. Coming back for the one-offs, like Rock and Reigns, that makes sense. Coming back just to work one of the new guys, you're right. It doesn't make sense at that point. I mean,
we talk about it.
Make a star, but I mean, they don't do that.
But you want to talk it over, and you know what? If you really had to say it, I mean, the ultimate badass in the place is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. And Brock, right. I mean, you know, he's going to be at WrestleMania against somebody.
Somebody.
His rumor right now?
No.
Granted, it's early. And what do you think about it if it's true? Gunther.
Who?
The Intercontinental Champion, Walter. He's now called Gunther. I've heard that as a possibility for Lesnar at WrestleMania. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. But.
Now, if you talk about, like, okay. Let's put that kid in there with Lesnar, right? And that kid's...
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
Walter?
Yeah. No, he's a rough, tough kid. He wrestles hard. Do you really think Lesnar's going to take that shit from him and not fire back?
No, I mean, Lesnar's going to do Lesnar things. Look what he did with Braun Strowman.
But along with everybody else. And I think a lot of times, Brock Lesnar has to hold back because these guys are not on his stratosphere as far as wrestling.
Brock, I don't know who they could match up with Brock this year, man. That Bray Wyatt. I don't know. Get creative.
Do you see, but Bray Wyatt's more of a character, right? And you got to get somebody who would fall into his trap and be mesmerized, right?
That's true. Would that not be compelling, though? We've never really seen Brock vulnerable. And I know it's kooky. That's 80s, 90s, WWF. You know, spooky stuff, but wouldn't that not be cool for Brock to get freaked out a little bit? Something we've never seen him. He didn't get freaked out with The Undertaker. He beat him.
But you know what it is, too? When they came out with the radio and did all that dancing, he looked like a goof. Okay. That's really serious. Say
what Brock can't get away with being a goof because you know he's a badass no matter what. Exactly.
Right. So, like, when they had the seriousness with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, that was compelling. That was something that worked. You have Paul Heyman now with Roman Reigns doing the same thing. And it's compelling. But like I always said in the back of my mind, there's got to be a screw job somewhere for where Lesnar comes out. You know, say if, just for say, Royal Rumble, say Reigns is in there. And number 30 is Brock Lesnar, and Reigns, and Brock friggin' beats Roman Reigns.
That would be interesting. Putting Reigns in there, they did this with Brock before. Remember, Brock was the champion, right. And he's like, "I'm going to win the Royal Rumble, and then I can pick who I face at WrestleMania or whatever." Why not put Reigns in the Royal Rumble as the champion?
Now that is something that could work. And people would believe it.
Would the titles be on the line? Like remember Flair won that and the title was on the line? Or would it just be Roman trying to win it so he can call his shot at WrestleMania? He could call out The Rock. I don't know.
But in the Royal Rumble, it's the Royal Rumble with the opportunity to choose your opponent.
But for WrestleMania.
If you got Brock in there and Reigns is in there and Reigns goes in.
Every big star.
That's logical, right? So you're good.
Yep.
I just think that
that's it. That's all I got, Vito. We covered 30 plus minutes again. I don't know how we do it. We went off no DQ's top headlines today. Oh, big news day, huh? Anything else you'd like to say in closing? Anything on your mind?
So after you got off the air with no DQ last night, how was Walter? Did he buzz your phone? Did he write you an email?
No, he was tweeting. He's like, "I survived, Big Vito." He feels like he was he feels like he was christened last night. And he's like, "And I learned a lot."
He looked like he had a good time. He looked like
you made his night, Vito. Nice. You know, like I was gonna bump all the newbies off, and it was gonna be me, you, Aaron, and like Jargo or Robbie or somebody. And I just couldn't get that fourth guy. So we gave Walter the spot. You know, sometimes you got to put a newbie in there and have him pay their dues. And man, he had a good time.
No, he had a good time. And that, you know, guys, you know, I'm notorious for all the guys who come through the ranks and who break guys in. But the majority of the time is you have a good time, you break them in, but you teach them. Hey, listen, do something with your background. Hey, you know, don't be a fanboy. Talk as an analyst and journalist, because I throw those words out there just to calm them down and to get them, you know, not long-winded and cut them off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Where I don't have to say, hey, what are you doing? You know, and not embarrass anybody. We're all there to have a good time, enjoy each other. And, you know, that's what makes No DQ and the Channel 4 news team very important. You know, we're still looking for the fourth newscaster. You know, we're having tryouts. But, you know, with Aaron and Mr. Virtue and myself, we got a good rapport. We got a good little crew. It's too bad we can't do it more often, because I think we do great things together. But just work schedules in real life come
first. If you move from the one workplace to the other, would your Thursday nights free up?
Yeah, probably. You know, it's just a matter of...
There you go. There's another reason to do it if you can.
Listen, I just, you know, just so everybody knows, I had contact with my old job at Disney. So working there again. So we're all trying to get back to Disney. It was the happiest place. And I enjoyed working at Disney. I thought it was a great opportunity for me. Definitely working in a different capacity. But, you know, I like working in a happy place. I like seeing happy people and being in at a good place and working with different people. It's really cool. So if that happens, hey, great. But my job where I have now, a lot of people depend on me, and I love working with my job. But you're always saying, hey, what if this and what if that? You know, if I could supplement it where I could work at my job and work at Disney on the weekends, you know, and if it works, hey, cool. You know what I mean? But you don't want to bite off more than you could chew. You want to just live an easygoing life. You know, and that's it, really. I mean, that's what it is. So we have Nana the Banana Man here. No problem. The struggle to understand since live on Twitch don't provide closed captions, which I'm joining pro wrestling industry and try to provide more accessibility for fans like me and enjoy. Just dropped in to show some support. Nana, hope
he was saying he's deaf and he's a wrestler in training. I think that's what I read earlier.
That is what he did. Nana, I wish you the best. You know, if you ever have any questions, you know, hit me up. I'd be more than happy to try and help you. But that's it for tonight, Mr. Virtue. I think we're a wrap.
Another great show. Be sure to follow Vito on Twitter at the Big Vito Brand. Follow me if you dare at NoDQ_Virtue. If you did not see the NoDQ review number 214 live last on demand, go check it out right now. It's crushing the numbers. And that's all I can say. Right? Big Vito LaGrasso is the man. I'm just here because he lets me. For Vito, I am Virtue. This has been Getting Color right here on the Big Vito Brand. See you again next time.
Peace out, guys. And cut. Thank you to everybody in the chat, and thank you everybody for watching. See you next time.
Catch Vito and the Big V Mafia on Twitch, Monday and Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern.